Good morning.
Our scripture today is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Lindsay. Good morning. I trust that you're ready for an exciting day. I have two little helpers here. It's going to take care of all the sermon. If you read this and put all this to practice, I don't have to preach. How's that? And today's not going to be a typical sermon. It's going to be more of a teaching, if that's all right. We're going to go a little different way, but that's where I'd like to go today. You don't need to look at those handouts till we get three-quarters way through the sermon. One thing I'd like you to do, if you have a Bible or a notebook, to take those home in and study them this week. This is devotional material, is what it really is. And today I'm not going to do as much. I'll do more rhetorical questions. How do you like that? Not all of them, though. This first part's not that way. How many of you were raised to be independent? How did you? I love those hands. The hands go up. Your parents taught you what? How were you raised to be independent? Let's do a little rhetorical. Questions now. How were you raised to be independent?
Given responsibility.
Responsibility. What else?
Freedom to fail.
Freedom to fail. Observation of your parents. They were driven. Right. What else? Your hands all went up, and now you don't know how you were raised. You just know we were. My mom always said, if you want it done right, do it yourself. You know, you start that. I was also taught that if anybody pushed back, you had every right to stand your own ground. I was told never to start a fight, but I was also told if someone else started a fight with me, if I didn't win, I would pay it home. So I would rather win. I mean, that was a no-brainer. And that was not my dad telling me that. That was my mother. So you stop and you start to say, Also, you know, we're told to look out for ourselves. Were you all told to look out for yourself? We were told to share, but how many of you have kids and you have to worry, you struggle with that thing about a one-and-a-half-year-old, two-year-old, when they see somebody else's toy, what do they do?
Mine.
And we have that. In America, independence is really valued, right? So we're taught this independence, but then as believers, once we are believers, we're told to do what? We're told to live and walk and work in the body of Christ. How do those two seem to work together? And I think many of us struggle with that. I find I do too, because when I, as an independent person, I did my own thing. I depended on myself. I could pull myself up. But now, as a follower of Christ, I need to be submitting to Christ. Oh, there's one more. I need to be submitting to who else?
Our You all.
Wow. Really? Submit to Darius? But that's what I'm called to, right? You also see, as we understand the body of believers, what are we? It says we're members one of another. Romans 12, right? Also, if I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 12, I'm taught that I need to be doing my part to edify the body. It's not my part to edify me. How does that work? How are you living with that? Do you feel you're an overcomer, or you feel that's something you struggle with? I find it very easy for me to struggle with it. I think it's also something that we all as Americans struggle with, because we still have that independence. I want to do it my way. I want to do it from this side. And I think God is calling us to something more. In fact, if you look at the scriptures teach us, and it's on there specifically, we will be known by our love, what? One for another. How can you show love one for another if we're not deeply connected? And I believe, we were talking in our class here just before about the world needing to hear about Christ. I believe that if the world could see what a loving community looked like, it would probably have influence on them. Because if one of the biggest things I know about your generation and the world we live in today, it's a broken world. They know they're broken. They don't know why. Many of them are lonely. They're trying to find things to take care of that loneliness, right? They want acceptance, right? And we have the answers. But we only have the answers as we come together as the body of Christ. So how do we do that? That's what we want to look at today. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this passage. Father God, we just ask today that your Holy Spirit might lead us, that God, you might speak to us, that your word would come alive, and Father, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would change us. We all here want to be your children, serving you faithfully, and we do want to be a body of believers here at Antioch, that the world would see your love in us, one for another. And Lord, because of that, they'd be drawn to you. Father, I pray you take the thoughts that you lay to my heart. Take the words to share. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. Have your will and way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage today, we're going to see three things that I want us to look at. First, because of the confidence we have in Jesus Christ and his work, we can now live in his presence and power. And because of that, he tells us, because of our confidence and who we are in him, we need to live in the body of Christ. We need to live out being in the body of Christ. We can all talk about it, but how do we live that out? And that's what I want us to look at today. As Lindsay has read that passage and Hebrews 10, the first, as we look at this first 19 through 21 there in Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have the great high priest over us, this is our confidence that we have through Jesus. It's a confidence. You see, since he starts out, since we have confidence. So what happens when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, in other words, with the place where you have made a decision to put your trust in following him, you become a follower of Christ, right? As a follower of Christ, now what has happened? Well, the author of this passage takes it back to really the temple. If the Old Testament and also in a tabernacle, there was inside there was a Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was a 30 by 30 foot, 30 foot, 30, 30 foot space where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that's where God's Spirit rested. And they said that's where they went to meet with God. The only problem was they could only go once a year and only one person. So they went through and it was the high priest. The high priest, when he would go, he had to sacrifice and he had to make sure that he did all the things so his ceremony clean. And then he could go into the Holy of Holies to present before God once a year. And that was it. And what the author's saying, that since we've come to Christ, we now can come into God's presence always because who? We have a great high priest. Who is that? Jesus. That's right. You got the answer. It's Jesus. And because Jesus, because of his death, and that's when it says, if you remember in Matthew, talks about when Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. That was also his flesh. And because of his death and by his shedding of his blood, we all who place our faith in Christ now can come boldly, and we have a confidence that we can walk in the presence of God. Wow. Think back. Abraham didn't have that. Joshua didn't have that. You just start thinking through the Old Testament. We have something special here as believers in Christ. And he says, we have this confidence. But then he goes one step further. Not only do we have a confidence by the blood of Christ, we have a living high priest who is Jesus Christ, who is, as told in Romans, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me right now. So we have confidence through Jesus Christ. But not only do we have confidence, look at the next two verses, 22 through 20 and 23. Therefore, he says, let us draw near with true hearts and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil consequences and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Because when we came to Christ, his blood covered how many of our sins? The ones you're going to do tomorrow? Is that right? We have trouble with that one, don't we? Because many of us hang on to little ones here or there, and we don't realize his blood covered all of our sins. And he says here, did you notice how it says that in there that it said, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience. In other words, because of his shed blood, we are clean before God. And then he goes on to say what? And our bodies washed with pure water. That's symbolizing our baptism. Because when we went down into the water to be baptized, we died with Christ. And as we come back, we come back what? As new people in life with Jesus Christ. Not that that happened to baptism, but it had happened. This symbolized, baptism symbolized that. And so we now have what? We have full assurance. So our position in Christ is that we are with Christ, we are in Christ, and we have a confidence. And he goes on to say, not only do you have a confidence, but you have a hope that is not wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. So God is saying here, okay, guys and gals, you in Christ have a confidence in him. You have a position because you're with Christ and we're with God through Jesus Christ. Then he goes, what? Here comes the easy part. And this is the author. It's just like Paul. He's going to give you the theological reason. Now he's going to say, okay, go do it. What's he tell us to do? This is where it gets fun. Look at verses down there. Because of this confidence in the work of Christ and our full forgiveness and being made new in Jesus Christ with our hope of his forgiveness and our trust in him, let us live as the body of Jesus. Verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. What are the three things he's telling us there? First, stir one another up to good works and love. Not neglecting the meeting together and encouraging one another. Those are the three. We're going to do them in a little bit different order. I would like to do the second one first. The idea there of meeting together, not neglecting the meeting together. Now, if we are in the body of Christ, we need to be what? Together. If we're going to show love one for another, we need to be what? Together. And what Paul, the author here is saying, he's saying, do not neglect the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And many people want to make this just about the worship service. Not so much. I think the worship service is part of it. But how many of you can get connected to people real good in the worship service? I don't see any hands. Why not? Many times we can come to worship service and we can sneak out before anybody talks to us, right? Or better yet, we can come to the worship service and we're struggling this week, but you know, we all as Christians have a way of putting that Christian smile on. We walk in, we get into the parking lot out here, and the moment you come through that door, everything's fine, right? Any of you have that? Any of you couples ever fighting the whole way to church? And then as soon as... Sounds like somebody knows something about this. And so you had just grumbling the whole way to church, and all of a sudden you get here, and the greeter, Gabe's out there, you know, Gabe's smiling, and Gabe reaches out and says, how are you doing? Fine, you liar. Isn't that right? I think that passage there means much more than just coming to worship service. I think this passage here really pushes us to the idea of what does connecting look like. And that looks like what we do here at the church as community groups, where we get down and we get messy with each other, where we can get close enough that we can trust one another to say, you know, here's where I'm struggling today. Or where we can get close enough so that you can call one of your brothers or sisters and say, hey, I'm really struggling today halfway through the week, because you know they care. And this is what I think he's talking about meeting together. Because if we don't get to that point, see, in worship services we get here, right? Hopefully in small groups we get here. Where you just kind of, sometimes you maybe share too much. Any of you had that problem? But the fact is we can share our hearts. We can share what's really going on. We can get to a place where we're trusting each other. And he's saying, the author, God's telling us here what? He's saying, since you have this confidence, since you have this hope, what? Start living it and do what? Get together. Why? Well, he's going to go on. He's going to look at that verse 24. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. That's an ugly word. That stir word in the Greek is an ugly word. I think the King James used spur one another on. You know what spurs are? Have you ever ridden a horse? Or you ever seen somebody? Spurs are sharp metal things that you kick into the side of the horse to get their attention. So who do you want kicking spurs into your side? Really what the Greek word says is irritate you in a good way so you do it. Oh, ouch. And you can't do that in Sunday. Well, you can do that in Sunday morning. But if you do that Sunday morning, someone's not coming back next week, right? And I think too often we don't realize that we're called to spur one another on. Who needs to be spurred on? I do. It gets pretty easy. I get pretty placid. I think it's pretty comfortable. You too? And so we need spurred on. What's he call us to spur him on to? Love and good deeds. Take your little sheet. If you look at the little sheet, one, and these are not all the one another's of the New Testament. I just took a good selection, and it worked out so they'd fit on one page, front and back. So that's better yet. But you notice here that how many of them? Look at John 13. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you should love one another. Look at Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to who? One another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Romans 13, 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Ephesians 4:2 down there says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. What? In love. Go to the other side. Go down there to Hebrews 13:10. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do you think we need to love one another? But what does that look like? What does that love look like? Because we have such a light, a slight understanding of love in America. Love means that I care for you the way God cared for me. That's what he's using in some of those. We need to have that godly love. Where God was willing to send his son to die for me, so I need to be willing to give up some things for you so that you can become what God wants me to be, you to be. But at the same time, I'm not going to be afraid to, as a brother or sister in Christ, come and tell you what the truth is. Love's heavy. And love can't be done here. Love has to be done in that connection. We have to know each other and care for each other. Do you notice what I said there? To stir one another up to what? Love? What's the last part of that? Good deeds, good works. So that's within and that's without. The good works we need to be doing inside. Now, remember again, you're not saved by your good works. But because you're saved and you're in Christ, you should have good works. And we now have, as someone was sharing in our class this morning, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. So let's not be hesitant about stepping out and do the good works. Because God wants to do this, and we need to be caring for one another. That can be helping somebody out. That can be, you know, working together, whatever. But also the good works, what are good works out there for? The Bible says, do your good works so they may see and glorify your Father in heaven. Your good works should point people to God, not to you or to me. And we're supposed to stir one another on to that. We're supposed to irritate them in a good way. And I haven't got that quite understood because some people irritate. Do you know some people who are ouchy? You look at them wrong and they said you did it. Or there's some people that are pretty tough skin, so you got to kind of get the wire brush out. But how do you do that unless you really love and care for one another? Spurring one another on. Because of who we are and what we have in Christ, we're to be living together like that. That's another way of discipling. Because when you know a person and know who they are, then you can help them walk more like Christ. You can encourage him. Remember, God's the one who, through the Holy Spirit, changes people, but he still uses us to help. And that's what disciple making is. So he tells us not only to spur one another on, but if you look then at your passage down there, the next last part of that passage, it says what? Encourage one another all the more as the day draws near. If you look at that list of on here, there's five different ones that point out encouragement. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. How many of you need encouragement today? Anybody? Yeah, there's people who need encouragement today. But the trouble is, if we're not close enough to them, how can we know to encourage them? What does encouragement look like? Does encouragement say, oh, you're doing a good job. Rachel, you did a good job this week. Do you feel encouraged? Probably not. She says, Moose, you just said that because you had to. Have you been through that one? To really be encouraged, it needs to be very sincere. So in other words, you have to know the person. There has to be authenticity there. Also, to encourage a person, you need to be specific. But not only need to be specific, you also need to deal with who they are. Speak into the truth. And one person puts it, you need to be strength-focused. You need to be pointing out a strength. May I pick on you, Rachel? Okay. Rachel, I want to thank you for this week because of your skills in how you do administration. You took a big load off my list so that we could have this stuff here and we could have this worship service. Thank you, because you use your God-given gifts. You see, there's a little different than saying, Rachel, you did a good job. But you know what you have to do when you start to encourage people like that? You have to know them. You have to stop and think about it. It's easy to say, hey, you did a good job. Look at the last on your half sheet. Look at the number, I think it's Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Whoa. Do we understand that your encouragement of one another can have and will have spiritual influence on the life of one another, of another person? Your words, do you understand that your words can take a person, and because God will use them to pick that person up so that they can be strengthened and not deceived by God, by Satan's deceitfulness? Wow. But how do we do that? Well, again, it's back in these groups, isn't it? It's back being close enough to each other. And that's the body of Christ. We need that. And we need that more and more as we continue. It gets harder than it has. And we're in a world where, you know, everybody's putting us down, right? And we need that encouragement. So what are we called to do? We're called as the body of Christ to encourage one another. And then we can take this list here and start looking through and see other things we need to do in the body of Christ. Let's just take a quick perusal of that. Look at on the front there, Romans 12. If we're living in the body of Christ, what does it say? Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. You also, as you go down there, another one is Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather what? Serve one another. We looked at that one. There was one I was looking at. Then Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other, forgive one another, and if any one of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Father forgave you. See, if we're really working as the body of Christ, we're going to be helping each other be forgiving. Because we're going to be close enough that we can encourage them. You all know what bitterness does, right? It'll destroy you. But as the body of Christ, we can come together. So today, as we close, I want to encourage you two things specifically. Are you in a small group? Do you have some fellowship, deep fellowship, besides just what you say coming to church? Because we don't want anybody here in our body out on an island by themselves. We want you to be together. And there's people here, if you're here today, small group leader, I could call them small group, community group leaders, who are here? How many of you are here today? Stand up so we can see you. Stand up. There we go. Look around. If you don't have a community group, talk to these people. They'll be glad to get you in. Coley, are you responsible for that now? Huh? That's what I tell you? And we need to start a new one up north, on the north side again. I don't know how it is. Cheryl and I always get into one, and in about 2.5 years, everybody moves on, and now we're back to the place where we're 2.5 years by ourselves. But again, what?
Are you running them out?
Now they all move out. I was going to say something, but I'll shut my mouth. Shut up, Moose. So if you're not in a small group, a community group, and you're looking for one, there are plenty here. And as you saw, Coley's there. And another thing, reason we need to be in something like this, it's going to, these community groups will help you grow as you walk with Christ. As we close today, I've got a couple questions to think on. I wonder, do you have that full confidence that you can freely enter God's presence? Are you in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? If you are, you can have that full confidence. If you don't today, please talk to one of us because we'd like to help walk that through with you. There's many people here. Secondly, I would like you to take a moment to rate yourself as how well you're living in the body of Christ. You are. 1 to 7. 1 is where you're being fully independent. You're in Christian in name only, and you're still doing it my way. You're looking out for me. Where 7 is, you're fully in step with the Spirit. You're doing Jesus' way. You're submitted to Jesus. You're humble. You're forgiving one another. You're very teachable, and you're loving others at your expense. Where do you rate yourself? That's a rhetorical question. Here's a follow-up question to that. What's your next step you need to take? What's the next step? We, the body of Christ here at Antioch, need each one of y'all, to take that next step. Because we want to be that body of believers who show the world Christ's love and draw people to Him. Remember, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you've been made new in Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be that person who reaches out to other people. God is able, but He wants us to be living. He's called us to live as the body of believers, that the world can see Christ in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You did save us. Lord, we struggle with at times why, but Lord, we know that You did, and we just thank you, Father. We thank You for forgiving us for all of our sins, and we thank You for working within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, having sealed us with Your Spirit so that we might be new people in You. I pray, Father, that You would help us as a family just to bind together and become really that body that You want us to. Lord, each one know things that we probably need to deal with. Show us, Lord. Show us, and Father, I pray that each one of us be teachable and willing to take that next step to really walk in the one another's and be that body of believers. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.